Hi, everyone. I hope you guys have been having an amazing week. I hope you guys had an amazing weekend. Well, when this podcast goes live, it's Wednesday. So we're almost done with the week. Halfway there. And I feel like we haven't really catched up a lot. Mm-hmm. But that is coming. I've read a lot. I've done a lot. I think we've announced a lot of stuff too. Yeah. And it's been fun. It's been fun. But today I'm so excited and I'm very like nervous because we have the honor of talking to USA Today bestselling author, Marnie Mann.
Yes.
She recently released The Billionaire. Oh my God. Like, girl. When I say that I was blushing on some scenes, I was blushing. I was like, woo, what is going on? I loved it. Loved it. It's that type of book that once you like, it literally grabs your whole attention mm-hmm. and everything from the first page.
Yeah.
I mean, it's happened to me where some books, like I have to like make it to like chapter 3 or 4 until I'm like hooked. No, this one literally had me from the first page. It was phenomenal. It was an age gap. You guys, you know, I'm picky with age gaps. So for me to say this, read it. If you guys haven't, read it. It is the second book in the Dalton Brothers series. The Lawyer was the first book. The Billionaire is the second one. Each book can be read as a standalone.
Yeah.
But like I always say, please read the first book first. You're going to understand the characters better. You understand the whole family dynamic better. Mm-hmm. So please pick up The Lawyer first. We hope you guys enjoyed today's podcast. I'm super nervous. I'm excited. So we're going to be talking about Jenner. We're going to be talking about Joanne, which is the Heron. Loved her. We're going to be talking about The Single Dad that's coming up, I believe, and I hope this year, which I'm super excited about. I love A Single Dad. And we're going to be talking about so much more. So please stick around. And we hope you guys enjoy today's podcast. And make sure you stick around because we're going to be playing a this or that game with Marnie. Mm-hmm. Yes. So, all right. So grab some coffee, sit down, and we hope you guys enjoy.
Thank you so much, Marnie, for joining us today on our podcast. It's definitely a huge honor to have you here. We've been dying to talk to you all about your books. And so thank you for joining us today.
Thanks for having me. It's so much fun to finally see your faces and hang with you, girl. Yes.
Before we get started, how are you doing so far with 2022?
2022, I think, has been easier than 2021. My family's all healthy. We've all kind of recovered from COVID at this point. We've all had it. My husband and I had it once. My family's mm-hmm. had it multiple times. So life is starting to kind of feel normal again. So
yeah,
I would say it's a better year so far.
Yeah.
So we've read several of your books. Each of them are different, and each of like every single one is very phenomenal. It's epic. You've made us cry. You've made us like, you've had our Kindles on fire. So starting off, what made you want to publish your first book? When did you sit down and say, okay, I want to be a writer. This is what I'm going to write. Like, how was it transitioning from what you were doing to becoming an author?
So I've wanted to be a writer my whole life. It's like what I excelled in high school. It's what I went to college for. And I was living in Boston at the time. And a dear friend of mine overdosed from a heroin overdose and she died. And so she, like I said, was a dear friend of mine. I like grew up with her. And so it was just really tough and really, really emotional. And I was inspired to write a book. So at that time we kind of transitioned and we moved from Boston to Florida. And I didn't know a lot about drugs from like the addict standpoint. I knew it from the enabler standpoint, which is the relationship I had with her. So mm-hmm. I hit the streets and I learned everything I could about drugs. And I wrote a book called Memoirs Aren't Fairy Tales. And I got a publishing deal and I published it. And so my first two novels are mainstream fiction about heroin addiction. unlike anything that I've written like recently or within the past 10 years. So I pubbed those two books. And then at the time my publisher was like, cause there was sex in the books. My publisher was like, you have a knack for writing sex. Like, have you ever considered erotica? And at that time, like 50 Shades was just kind of like coming through the market and everything. And I was like, no, but I've always loved romance and I've always read it. Let's try it. And so I wrote a book called Seductive Shadows. And then I never looked back. That's what I've been doing ever since.
So how much, since you did mention you go on the streets talking about drugs, researching, how much research take place before you actually start writing a book?
It depends on the book. I try to write about things that I know about. Real estate is something that my husband and I dabble in a lot. So that's a language that I speak very fluently. Law, I don't really know a whole lot about. So I do have an attorney friend who, if there's any legal questions, I pick his brain. That's sort of what I do. Mm-hmm. I just finished a book. It was a psychological thriller that was about a topic that I knew absolutely nothing about. And it took me 11 months to write the book because all I had to do was research endlessly on this topic. Mm-hmm. So if it takes a ton of research, which I'm not afraid to do, the books just take me longer. But I try to pick in my romance novels, I try to pick topics that I'm a little bit more familiar with because, you know, time's of the essence and I don't have a year to write these books. So, but there's always research in some capacity involved.
Does it make it a little bit harder when you're, like you said, there's some topics that you aren't that familiar with? Does it make the writing process a little bit harder and longer to write a book?
It does, because I'm always stopping and Googling or like reaching out to resources, asking the answers to my questions, because it affects everything. Like, it affects the way they speak. It affects the way they think. Like, attorneys think differently than I do. You know, they think from a legal standpoint, which my brain doesn't even process that kind of stuff. So yes, it holds up everything. And so again, like I try to pick, like real estate, something I go to often just because it's easy for me, but I try to pick things that are on the easier side just because, you know, I don't want it to be like the most challenging books to write. So, although I've done those and I just finished one, like I said, it took me almost a year and that was grueling. So
how long does it normally take you to write a book?
Anywhere between 6 weeks and 2 months, usually. Yeah. I kind of like purge out the first draft and then I go back in and that's when I make it pretty. Like the first draft is just like, I literally just vomit the book out. Like it just is ready to come out of me. And then I go in and I like add all the details and like add all the finesse and basically almost rewrite it. And then it takes me a couple weeks to, from that point to edit it again, I go through it three times and then it goes to my editor. So about 2 months from start to finish.
Since you did mention, the research, how long it can take. Besides researching, are there any challenges when you write a book?
It's nothing but challenges. Yes. You would think that after like 30 books, it would get easier and it doesn't. It gets harder. You know, you have different expectations on you. You set different personal goals. Like I always want to become a better writer. That's my ultimate goal, always. And so I want to become better in every book that I publish and I'm constantly working on my craft. So that's hard, you know, because I'm if you think that readers are hard on us writers, like we're the hardest on ourselves. Mm-hmm. So that's always a challenge. Like Marnie has to get better as writing. And that's something that I put on myself. And then, you know, there's always publishing goals and there's always reader goals. And yeah, it's an endless cycle of goals and worry. And yeah.
What's more challenging for you to write? Cause I know with the Dalton Brothers series, that series is more like steamier, sexy versus other series. Like When Ashes Fall, which is like, even if it hurts, it's more emotional. It's more heart tugging and everything. So which one's more challenging to navigate through? Like the most, like the heartbreaking emotional books or the more steamy, sexy books?
Good question. I would say the books, not necessarily the angsty books, but the books that have like the twists that are weaved in, like When Ashes Fall, like that was a hard book to navigate because the twist was so epic in that book that it was layered into every single word that I wrote. And I had to be super careful with every word that I wrote because I didn't want to reveal what the twist was. Mm-hmm. So books like When Ashes Fall or Prisoned is another one that was like very challenging to write for that reason. So I love angst. Like I love a book that is like, I'm so immersed. Like, even if it hurts, I love when I'm so immersed in these characters that like every move they make makes me sob. Like, that's my favorite. But I also, on the flip side, feel the same way writing erotica. And like when I am emerged in Jenner and Joe, like I'm feeling their love story and like, I can't wait for the next chapter. I don't find those equally as difficult. It's the twists, like weaving those in, that I find hard, which I love those. Like, they're my favorites. Don't get me wrong. They're just more challenging to write.
And can I just say that cover for the Even If It Hurts and When Ashes Fall has to be like some of my favorite covers. There's something about those that are just so intriguing yet very soft touch to it. I love them. I love your covers.
Thank you. Thank you. They're haunting covers. Like, those girls' faces, they're gorgeous, and they just kind of like stick with you. So yeah.
And what actually, how do you come up with your covers? Like, do you plan your covers before you start writing, or do you do your covers after your story is done?
No, typically we start the cover process before. So I call, so Hong Lee is my designer, and I call her. I usually call her and I'm like, okay, now you have to listen to me for the next 30 minutes, purge my entire book to you. Okay. She's like, oh my gosh. So I tell her everything. Like, I tell her the twist, I tell her the plot, I tell her everything. And she's like, all right, let me give me like a moment to like sit on this and like simmer. Cause she has an entirely different creative process than us writers do. Like, she's all visual, we're all words. So she'll come back and she'll be like, all right, this is what I'm envisioning. And she'll usually give us, like, I say us, it's me and my publicist, Nina Grinstead, we're like a team. So she'll give us like 3 or 4 options, and she nails it every time. Like, she just gets it. She understands me and my vision always. And so usually it's, she gives options because she's like, you know, what if Marnie doesn't like it? But I always like it. So we always go with one, and then we might make like a few slight changes, and then that's the cover.
Which one has been your favorite so far from all of your covers? Which cover of yours has been your favorite?
Honestly, yeah, honestly, the two that you said, When Ashes Fall and Even If It Hurts, those two women, I love women on covers. So
yes,
I love them. And those two are, they're ones that I see when I close my eyes. Like, they're, like I said, they're just haunting. They're beautiful women.
Yes.
Can I say that those two covers, I actually haven't read them. It's because I see the cover and I feel like I will cry, like reading the book. And so I get so scared of picking them up just because of the cover. I was like, I know I will cry reading this book, but I don't want to cry yet. So I'm not going to pick it up yet. But they, seriously, they are gorgeous covers.
Thank you. And I don't blame you. Like, you have to be in a certain mood to handle those kinds of books. And those are heavy books. So I totally get you.
Do reviews and or reader comments influence you to write your characters and stories in a certain way?
They don't. I try not to read reviews because they can really mess with your mojo. You know, the beautiful ones, the negative ones, all of them can kind of mess with like your headspace. I try not to read them. Unfortunately, we often get tagged in reviews, the negative ones, I'm saying. And you know, I skim them and I can't let them come into my like headspace, in a sense, because I plan these books like well ahead in advance. And so I know in my mind, like, how they're going to go. And to me, that's the right angle to go. And I won't be able to live up to every reader expectation. I'll never be able to make everybody happy. It's just something that we have to accept in our society. And that goes for movies and life. And, you know, you're always going to disappoint somebody. So I just do what I think is right. And I take my readers on the journey that I think they should go on. And I just hope that people accept it and love it as much as I do. So I try not to.
And with that, I know, I've noticed how you're always liking posts on Instagram. You're always sharing. And that is something I like, that is seriously the best thing ever. But does it get challenging at times to be like being on social media and seeing stuff that, you know, might not be what you want, or sometimes it gets too much? Does it affect any of your writing process?
I wish I just had more hours in the day and a few more hands. And I'm sure like everyone feels that way too. You know, it doesn't mess with my writing process. It's just, I have a hard time finding a balance. I'm a workaholic. you know, I would probably work all day, every single day, 7 days a week, if my husband didn't like pull me away from my computer and say, okay, it's time to just like unplug and, you know, experience life once in a while. So that's like the hard part. You know, there's just a lot involved in this job, and I do have a lot of help. I don't want to say I do all this on my own. I have an incredible assistant. I have an incredible team, you know, and they're very, very helpful, but that's me. That's like commenting on the posts and, you know, sharing all this stuff because that's important to me. And I think that your work is as beautiful as my work, and I want everyone to see your work. And so it's there's a lot involved in this job, which there's a lot involved in every job. I'm not trying to make it sound like ours is special, but I just wish I had more hours to be able to fully do everything that I want to be able to do.
And I think you're amazing because you finished the secret project that you were working on and you dove right into the single dad. And it's like, I was looking, I forgot when you announced you started back the single dad. And I was like, she just finished my project. I was like, and she's on social media. I was like, how did she do it?
I'm not good about taking breaks. It's like, I always compare it to, I'm a runner too. And I always compare it to running. Like when you are 3 miles in and then you decide to stop and like take a water break, it takes like everything you have to keep going. You just want to quit at that point, you know, and just like go running the next day. Writing is almost the same thing. Like you kind of get this pattern and mojo and like rhythm going when you're writing. And so if I stop for a week, it's hard to kind of find that like rhythm again where your words are working. So like, just keep going. So I do take time off. Like, I don't mean to say that I write 7 days a week. I don't always write 7 days a week, and I do take vacations, of course, but The Secret Project was a psychological thriller. And so that was like a much different animal than The Single Dad. And it took like everything out of me. So The Single Dad was almost like a treat, you know, because I'm so like, I love Ford, he's life. And so I'm so excited to write his story. So it was honestly like getting to go to The Single Dad was like getting to eat dessert for me. I was like, yes, like it was my treat. So I did dive right in.
So is there a trope that you haven't written yet, but you would like to write it?
Yes. I have never written enemies to lovers. And I believe we were talking about it. I'm going to write it. It's going to be in The Intern. And that book came to me so fast. And I've never like really written a bully asshole. Like I've written mean people, but never, sorry, I didn't mean to curse. I'm sorry. But I've never written anyone like an enemy before. So I've done forced proximity, and she didn't even know it. It was forced proximity. So I've done stuff like that, but this enemies to lovers just like literally came to me. And yeah, so it's a trope I've never explored. I'm super excited.
Oh, I'm so excited. I love an enemies to lovers.
I love reading them.
Adding a sexy alpha heroes like the ones you write. I am so excited.
Yay.
Without, like, I have to say, all those steamy scenes, I'm not trying to bash any other authors who write steamy scenes, but there are times when steamy scenes in books gets repetitive that you don't want to read it. You're just like, oh, it's the same thing. You just skip it. But your steamy scenes, every single steamy scenes are like totally different. And like, I am shocked as while I'm reading, I was like, wow, this is different. And it's like, it's not boring. And it makes you keep wanting to turn the page and keep and read them instead of skipping them. And I seriously think you did an amazing job on all those scenes. Like, you seriously have the like what your publicist said to you when you that you have a thing writing erotica, and you totally do. I totally agree with her.
Thank you.
And so going to the billionaire. So the billionaire, he's a lawyer, and she's quite young. She's like early, she's 21, turning 22, and he's in his early 30s. And I love age gap. Age gap is my thing. So I totally devoured The Billionaire. And that twist, I did not see it coming. And it made the book even better, I have to say, because I was not expecting it. And Jenner was I love everything about Jenner. He is seriously book boyfriend goals, and I love him for it. And I seriously think when he was struggling, when he said he is not, it's a one-time thing, he's not going to go to her. And when he went to, I believe, Florida, right? Miami? Yes. When he went to Miami to go meet her that first time, and him leaving at the airport, it hurts every single time when he leaves her. And I seriously think it's just like very small things like that, but at the same time, it's a huge impact. And I love that about the billionaire.
So with what Pink said about the steamy scenes, because it is true, I remember reading the book. I loved Billionaire. I don't do age gaps. I'm very picky with age gaps. And this one I devoured. I was like, I could not stop. And with the steamy scenes, I was reading that. I was like, oh, wow. Like, wow. I was like very shocked. But how is it that you keep things so fresh to where, like Payne said, it's not repetitive. It's a different scene every single time that we read it. Because I do think the billionaire is a little bit steamier than the lawyer.
It is. I appreciate you both saying that. Like, it means the world to me. Because as an erotica writer, like, you want to keep things fresh. That's always our goal. Mm-hmm. So thank you. I love that you both said that. So I think like a dude, I write most of my sex scenes, as you girls know, in the male point of view, because my brain works like a guy's brain does. So I find it sexy to know what the guy is thinking. Cause I feel like as us women, we already know what we're thinking. We know what it feels like and to experience sex. So to me, it's much sexier to hear it in a guy's point of view. And when it's always come to sex, like I've always, I don't know how to say this without like sounding so bizarre, but like, I think like a guy. So like that part weirdly comes very easy to me. And I'm saying not a lot of it comes easy, but that stuff does. Like, I don't know. I see sex from a guy's point of view. And that's why writing it from that point of view is easier for me. Like positions, the way he touches her, the way he looks at her, just those are details that are just very prominent in my brain.
So since you did mention about writing the point of views, which is easier, writing a girl's point of view or a guy's point of view?
Oh, the guy, so much easier. Oh, women are so challenging to write for. Yeah. Especially in angsty books. Like, they're just, and younger girls, because like I'm almost 41 years old. So writing a 22-year-old is challenging because I could be her mom. Oh my God, that's so sad to say. But like, that's so long ago for me, you know, like I don't think like a 22-year-old anymore. At least I hope I don't, you know? So like an age gap in that sense, like it was difficult. Yeah. But the guys like in angsty books, like I said, those are super challenging because there's just so many emotional layers that you have to unfold as you're writing, but guys are just much easier. They're very simple. They're just, and I don't want to say they're like simple-minded because they're not, but they just process everything so different than we do. They don't make things complicated. It just is what it is with a man.
And I'm happy you said that because there's scenes with Jenner and his brothers that I was telling Payne, their brotherly scenes are my favorite. And it's like, you feel that chemistry too. It's like they bicker. They're like, you know, they push each other. They call each other out when they're doing dumb stuff. So it's like, you see the way you write those scenes and it feels like you're there watching it. Mm-hmm. And it's like, whenever they're, you know, when you first start the book, when they're watching the game and they're just all messing with each other, it's like, I was laughing. I was like, these two are like bickering over and over again. So I love when you write those scenes, but does it, is there certain scenes you do have to write from like male point of view and the female point of view?
Always. Yeah. So I typically outline when I write books. So I have a pretty good idea. So when I outline, I have a pretty good idea of like where every scene is going to go. They're not super detailed outlines, but they're just sort of like what I have to accomplish and from start to finish. And so I see those scenes kind of play out as I'm outlining, and I know what would work better with certain characters versus because not all conversations play out the same on the page. Like just because in our brain, we think, oh, this is going to work really well, doesn't necessarily mean it will. But some of the scenes with the boys are my favorites also. My husband played football in college. We've been together since we were 19 years old. And so he lived in like a football house and I lived with him. And so I was around like all these guys all the time as, you know, one of the only girls. And so I saw their interactions and it was just something that like, I'll never forget. And even when they all get together now and like our guy friends here and our, when we all get together as couples, like I'm very observant when it comes to conversations and how people, their facial expressions and like how they interact. So like having guys kind of connect and have those conversations are some of my favorites to write, but yes, for sure. Like some things has to be in the girl's point of view and some has to be in the guy's. It just is a different flow. Mm-hmm.
So if you have to describe Jenner and Joe in three words, what would they be?
Good. Okay. So Jenner, three for each or three total?
Three for each.
Jenner, dominant, mm-hmm. passionate, loyal. Mm-hmm. Joe, fun. She's harder. She's much harder. Okay, so fun. I'm going to say loyal for her too. Mm-hmm. And hardworking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I loved her. I feel like Payne said, the twist in the book, and I don't want to give it out in case I don't want to spoil anything, but I feel like that explained her character so much more. So we see who she is. We see why she strives to accomplish so much and she pushes herself, which is what I loved so much about her. I always cheer for the heroine more. I was like, I love it. So for the lawyer and the billionaire, they're both, you know, like I said earlier, they're brothers. Each is, I believe you have to read one before you read the other. That way you can get a little bit feel of the family dynamic. But for you, I do also feel like each book stands on its own and it's very different from one another. For you, which one was harder to write, the lawyer or the billionaire?
The lawyer. And the only reason for that is it was like my first introduction to the boys. By the time I got to the billionaire, I felt like I was part of their family. You know, like the lawyer was like the introduction for me. It was like meeting the parents for the first time. And then the billionaire was like going on vacation with the entire family after you've already been in the relationship for a couple of years. Do you know what I mean? Like, and now with Ford's book, I'm like, oh, I could pinpoint like every person in this family, what they look like, what their favorite foods are. Like, I feel like I know everything about them. Mm-hmm.
So it's so this is three books. It's going to be the lawyer, the billionaire, and the single dad. When you started, right? Yes. And then you added one. So when you thought about the series before diving into the lawyer, did you say, okay, the lawyer is going to be about this couple and this is going to happen. The billionaire is going to be this couple. This is going to happen. Or does the plot of each book comes after, like while you're writing the first book or once you finish the first book?
No, I had them all figured out prior, all three. They're not outlined. I just know like what the twists are, even though the lawyer didn't really have any twists, but the one in the single dad and the one in the billionaire, like I knew those twists going in. I know like how the book starts and how the book finishes and sort of like how I have to get there, but the finer details aren't like tuned in. And then as I start writing, well, at the beginning of each book, I will outline. And then that's sort of like when all the meat and potatoes kind of like come together. But no, I had all the covers like far before I even started writing. And we're working on the cover now for the intern. So I don't have that cover yet. But so I had an idea of like what their body styles were like. You know, I always need the visual when I'm going in. Yeah, that's why the intern kind of happened randomly. When I started outlining the single dad, all of a sudden this idea came to me and I was like, oh my gosh, you need a book. So I hadn't thought of that when I was at the beginning of all this. That hadn't come to me yet.
I remember messaging you when I finished reading The Billionaire and I was like, is water kind of? And I was like, wait, is that going to be the intern? Is someone going to intern for him at the hotel? And I got so excited, but you said it's not his book. So I was like, dang it, I wish he gets a book.
A lot of people have said that to me, which is so funny. Like it's so funny. Like I didn't know how I knew his storyline, mm-hmm. how he was going to fit in, but I didn't know how he was going to like appear on the page. I just had this vision in my head, and so mm-hmm. many people have loved him. And I just didn't expect that. Usually they just like love the bestie, you know, they don't necessarily mm-hmm. love the dad. So many people have loved him. So he needs to make an appearance, you know, he will.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it's probably because we all love age gaps. And sure. So I think that's why we want an older hero. So yeah, I love an age gap. So I would totally read it if you ever release it. Since we did talk a little bit about the billionaire of the Dalton brothers, I kind of want to dive into your angstier books. Even though I haven't read them as much, but I heard so many good things about them. And how do you get in the mood when you write very emotional scenes?
Music, honestly, a dark room. I typically write those stories late at night, where like the lawyer and the billionaire, I write in the morning. It's hard, you know, angsty books take a lot out of me and I can't write them back to back typically because it's just, they're so draining, which is a good thing. Like I purge everything on the page because I want you guys to read my soul when mm-hmm. you're reading my books. So it's hard to get in that mood. You know, I almost have to kind of put myself in like a depressive state to write mm-hmm. their personalities, their stories. So like I said, it takes a lot out of me. These books are much happier. So I went on like kind of a binge of a lot of angsty books. And I said to my publicist, like I'm a mood writer. And I said to my publicist, look, we're in a bad world right now. Like it's 2021 at the time. I just finished like two super hard emotional books. Like I'm ready for happy. Like I'm ready to smile while I'm writing. And then that's when the boys came to me. So yeah, they're hard.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever cried while writing a book?
I always cry while writing a book. Yes, all the time. I mean, not in like adult and brothers. I haven't cried. Although I did cry at the end of The Billionaire. I was wicked sad that book was over. Mm-hmm. And the epilogue definitely made me tear up. Like, mm-hmm. I don't want to say like too much, but you girls know what I'm talking about. Yes. Like that just brought everything together. And so, yeah, like When Darkness Ends was the last angsty book that I wrote. And I... Mm-hmm. sobbed from beginning to end in that book.
Now I'm scared to pick up that book.
See that book? So the main character, I'll just give you a preface. One of the main characters or secondary mm-hmm. main characters in that book is a grandmother. And so that whole series, When Ashes Fall, is inspired by losing my grandmother. I was with her mm-hmm. when she passed away. So that is like a personal series to me. And giving mm-hmm. her like a main character was like spending time with my grandmother again. And so for mm-hmm. me, that's super emotional.
But I always say if a book makes you cry, that makes the book phenomenal. Mm-hmm. And that's the book you won't forget. I always say that. And it's true because it's like it's like The Billionaire, that ending scene. It was so heartwarming. It made me tear. I was like, oh, my God, I don't want it to end. And it's like those certain scenes, the ones that tug at your heart, are the ones that just stick with you. Mm-hmm. And I love crying in books. So I'm like, mm-hmm. Yep.
Which character has been your favorite and the hardest to write?
I'm going to say Alex from When Ashes mm-hmm. Fall. She suffers from PTSD, and mm-hmm. that was a disease that I didn't know a ton about, and it took a lot of research. And she has so many layers of emotional grief. And so another thing that the things that she's gone through, I just haven't experienced myself. So that was a really, really challenging part of that book, was to immerse myself in her and be able to write for her and mm-hmm. give her story justice. So she was a toughie.
And your favorite hero? She said Heron, so I'm like, now I want to know who your favorite hero is.
There's so, like, every one of them, like, you know, Derek from Unblocked, which is a super erotic collection that I wrote. He is like beyond in every way. I love the beard and the tongue and like all of him I love. And then, you know, Brett from Signed, like I'm obsessed with him too. Like he was the beginning of that series and I just fell for him. And Jenner, him and Dominic, if I had to choose between the two, I really love them both, but I just recently wrote Jenner. So like, I'm going to say Jenner's so smoking and delicious. So I don't know. This is so hard. Like even in my angsty books, like, and even if it hurts, like I loved Oliver too. Like Oliver stole my heart and still has it and he won't give it back. So like, there's so many.
What about Ford? What can you tell us about Ford?
Okay. So I haven't told you guys anything about Ford's baby mama, which was intentional. So you are going to find all about Ford's baby mama and you're going to get a heavy, heavy dose of Everly. And that's his 4-year-old daughter. And she's so fabulous and sassy and just like just a wonderful kid. He's like, being a single dad is no easy feat. And like, he's done a great job. It is a nanny story. So I'm not ruining anything there. I've been very honest about that. So there's a really fabulous nanny who's going to come into his life, but there's going to be a lot of drama. There is twists in the book. You are also going to meet the hero and heroine of The Intern. They both have heavy roles in this book. You're going to see a lot of Ford. I'm sorry. You're going to see a lot of Jenner and a lot of Dominic. You're also going to see the boys from the Agency series. So like Brett, Jack, Max, they always make an appearance in these books. So this book is more angsty and I didn't initially want to include angst in this series, but like having a little girl and drama with baby mama, it just has automatically caused some angst. So there's going to be angst in this one far more than the other two. But a very satisfying ending and a long journey to get there.
I'm so excited. I love a single dad. I am so excited. I remember finishing it, or when we were reading, even in The Billionaire, when they make comments to where, oh, he's a dad now. He doesn't party like he used to. He doesn't stay out as long as he used to. And I'm just like, okay, I want his book. Like, I need his book. I know you said with The Intern, you'll introduce them in The Single Dad. I know you said you came up with that story when you were plotting The Single Dad. Was there a scene that popped in your head? You're like, ooh, that has to be, I have to make a book for this. Or was it just, well, I really like this character. His background sounds nice. Did a scene play out in your head that made you write The Intern?
Yes. So So the beginning of this book is a little challenging. I'm a single dad. So I was like heavily outlining the beginning. And Hannah is their first cousin, the boy's first cousin. So their dads are brothers. Mm-hmm. And Hannah is in the first like 3 chapters of this book. And as I'm writing it, a scene like unfolds while I'm writing the single dad, outlining the single dad. And I'm like, okay, Hannah's amazing. Like she's amazing as a first cousin and just as an individual. And all of a sudden everything just clicked together. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I know exactly where her story's going and I know who she's supposed to be with. And I know where she fits into all this. And so there is going to be a boy on the cover because they're boy covers, but this story is really hers. And so it was the scene. It was a particular, and as soon as you read The Single Dad, like you'll know, there's a particular scene where she just shined. And like, not a lot of the besties that I've written in this series, like they deserve books too. I'm not trying to say that they don't, like Monica is so fabulous. And so but she's like the bestie everybody wants, but I don't know. There was something about Hannah that just like stole me and was like demanded a book. So I roll with it.
I'm so excited. Is that one coming out this year too?
It is. So it's up on pre-order for December 27th, but to be fully transparent, we moved that to the end of the year because, The Secret Project, there's a chance that it could come back and it may need some editing and stuff. So I just wanted to factor that in just in case. But I'm fully intending to finish the single dad and go straight into the intern. And if that happens, which hopefully it will, I'll be able to move the release date much sooner. So it won't be in December. It'll be earlier. But this just makes sure that I have plenty of time to conquer all the things that I need to this year.
I'm so excited. Thank you. So many amazing things are coming. I'm so excited.
Thank you.
So for 2022, are you also releasing that secret project?
So we're going a traditional route with a secret project. So it was with my agent. She just came back and she had me make a few changes to it. So I was actually working on that before I was on this call with you girls. So it's going back to her later today. And then please keep every finger and toe crossed for me that like something amazing happens with this book. I don't know if I get a traditional publishing deal, which is my ultimate goal. Yes. So if that happens, like typically it takes a little while. You guys know trad publishing is not immediate. So it would probably be more like 2023, but who knows? Anything's possible.
It's going to be worth the wait.
I hope so. Yeah. This book kicked my butt. So I hope so.
So in 2022, you also just going to release two more books or more books? Because the single dad and then the intern.
Yep. So two more. I have a trilogy that I'm dying to write and it's been haunting me for months now. And I know the whole trilogy, like I can see the whole thing play out. And I was going to write that next, which is what I was talking about online, which is probably what you're thinking. And so then the intern happened and I'm like, I can't leave everyone hanging. Cause as soon as you read the single dad, you're going to be like, I want Hannah's story. So I can't just like leave the single dad and then write three book trilogy and then go back to Hannah. I don't want to do that to her. So I moved those books to next year. And then, Hannah's story comes next. And then Hannah also has a brother who is also in the single dad. So if he, I don't know what's going to happen. So there could be another, and I'm never saying there won't be. And then if that happens, then the trilogy will just kind of move a little bit further, but that's angsty. It's going to take everything out of me again and it's going to happen, but probably next year.
So we need to get ready for that brother spam. That's what you're saying. I got it. I'm so here for it. I'm excited.
That's so funny.
So I'm super, super stoked for everything that's coming. I'm super excited for the single dad. I love a single parent. Like that's literally, I look for those type of books. So I'm super stoked and excited for that. Before we do let you go, we wanted to play a little this or that game with you.
Okay.
So that way we can get to know you a little bit more and readers can see you. Get to know you a little bit more as well.
Okay.
So we got this off from Pinterest and it's a bookworm this or that. So the first one, reading with music or reading without music?
Reading without music.
I have to read with music. I don't know why. Really? I have to have like something in the background.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yes. Even when I was in school, when I was like writing a paper or something, I remember my dad used to say, "You're not concentrating." I was like, "No, I concentrate when there's like stuff around me."
I love that. Everyone's so different. I love how we're all. Yeah.
Fantasy or adult?
Fantasy or adult?
Mm-hmm.
Adult.
Sad ending or happy ending?
Sad ending.
Ah!
Reading in bed or reading on the couch?
In bed.
Morning reader or night reader?
Night reader.
A bad boy or a good boy?
A bad boy.
Paperbacks or hardbacks?
Paperbacks.
Audiobook or ebook?
Ebook.
Library or bookstore?
I love them both. Both. That's a hard one.
Book talk or bookstagram?
Bookstagram. That was fun.
Thank you so much for joining us today, Marnie. It's definitely a huge honor to have you here on our podcast. And I'm pretty sure we will want to talk to you more with your upcoming releases, and especially your secret project. I seriously want to know more about that one. So I'm pretty sure we will get in touch with you again soon to have you back on our podcast.
I would love that. You girls are amazing. Thank you so much for having me. This was so fun.
Thank you so much. And we're crossing our fingers.
Thank you.
And everything. And congratulations on the release of The Billionaire. It was seriously, we loved it. It was phenomenal. And we're so excited for everything that's coming from you this year.
Thank you. I appreciate it so much.
Hope you have a good weekend.
Thanks. You too.
Bye. Bye.
I am seriously so excited for The Single Dad, The Intern, and her secret project, and that trilogy.
Girl, I'm excited for everything.
Yeah. I hope, I really want more information about that Single Dad, because we both love single parent books. Yes. And I'm dying for that book. And I seriously, she is so sweet. I love her.
And you heard her. We have to spam her for the brother book.
Yes, guys, we need to spam her so we can get the brother's book.
It went from a series of 3 books to 4 books. And guess what? It might be a 5 book series.
Yes. And I'm all for it. Totally. Definitely had a good time talking to Marnie. She is so sweet. So if you haven't read The Dalton Brothers, I highly recommend you to pick it up. They're all lawyers. We all need a billionaire romance. Mm-hmm. So definitely pick up that series.
And they're very steamy books, but it's not, her books are very steamy, especially The Billionaire, but can mm-hmm. I just say, it doesn't feel like it's too much. Mm-hmm. So yeah. There's so much going on in this book, and the chemistry, the feelings that it literally mm-hmm. makes you feel, that it's like, yeah, it has several very steamy scenes, mm-hmm. but it's not repetitive. You're not going to get, it's, how can I say it?
It's like, not boring.
It's not boring. It's like, there's, you get so hooked in this story.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I seriously could not put it down. I was like, oh, I love this so much.
Yes.
Plus, I'm seriously obsessed with her covers, too. Like, yeah. The covers for this series.
Mm-hmm. You know, there is just something. Okay, I love a hero in abs, whatever, shirtless. I love that. But there is something about a hero in a suit.
In a suit. Yes. Yeah. So, but, like, oof.
Yeah. Like, I seriously think in a suit, like, better than a shirtless hero. A shirtless man on the cover. I don't know. It's just me. But in the suit, definitely, I pick those. I think I have more covers of a man in a suit than a shirtless.
I think
man.
It's more like, I don't know. It's so more, it's intriguing.
Yeah.
It's like, is that, it's like that sexy, intriguing vibe. You're like, who is this man?
Like, you can definitely know that he's an alpha man. Alpha hero.
Oh, yeah.
In a suit.
So, if you're a guy in a book cover in a suit, you're like, mm-hmm, things are about to go down.
Yes. Yep. Mm-hmm. Seriously. So if you guys still have not entered our 2 giveaways that we have going on our Instagram page, which is the Gianna 3 books from Gianna, her Fallen Men series, After the Fall, Inked in Lies, and Dead Men Walking, the hardcovers, and the 3 books from Twisted series by Anna, we will be closing those 2 giveaways on March 15th. So if you have not entered those 2 giveaways, please go enter it. These books are amazing. We highly recommend all of these books, though. And they're both open international. So go enter if you have not. We did announce our crazy, the Bookaholic book box. Mm-hmm. We did post a small little introduction about it on Monday. So if you have So if you missed that episode, because we upload on Wednesday, and you missed that Monday episode, then go listen to it. And we are so nervous, so excited for that book box. Mm-hmm. We have authors lined up already, mm-hmm. but it's still, I seriously still can't believe that we are doing it. And I can't
believe it. This is what I kept saying was your idea. Yeah. I'm just going to add that. And I can finally say this was Peng's idea, y'all. Literally.
Yeah.
It's going to be fun. So if you guys haven't checked out that video, please check it out. We dive into more details on what the box is about, what, you know, everything you need to know. And if you do have a question in regards to the box, just let us know. But I think we went over everything in the video.
So thank you so much for tuning in to today's episode. We hope you guys have a good week, and we will see you guys next week. Bye.
Bye.